out of town. But if you've been here before, when Miss Keedra has ministered, you know what a blessing she is. She's an amazing teacher. She's taught, you know, in the School of Ministry. She's taught, you know, our Discover class. She has women's retreats. And so God really has put an amazing gift inside her, and we get to benefit and be blessed by that gift tonight. So why don't you give a good warm welcome to Keedra as she comes to share tonight. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Keep going. That sounds good. Okay, half of us are awake. Okay, this is going to be fun. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much. You are good and you are faithful. Your love is enduring forever. Father, you are worthy of it all. And so, Father, right now, before we even begin, we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Everything that shall come forth, we give you the glory for it. We praise you, Father. We pray for open eyes, open ears, and open hearts to receive what it is, not that I have to say, but what that it is you have to say by your Spirit. We praise you, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Did that wake you up? Okay, a little bit. All right. So my work is not so hard. How many of you have been enjoying Pastor Sam's messages on obedience? Amen. Amen. One of my absolutely favorite topics. I didn't realize I talked about it so much until a young lady told me, I've been knowing you for years, and every time we speak, you say something about obedience. So I said, why not? Let's just keep in line with what Pastor's already been ministering, since I love it so much anyway. I will give you a heads up. You will need your Bible. How many brought your Bible to church? Well, praise the Lord for the 12 people who brought their Bible to church. Okay, if you have an electronic device, pull it out. You'll need that. Also, you'll need something to take notes with. If you're like me, I like pen and paper. If you like gadgets, if you have a notes app or whatever, I'm giving you enough time right now to get those things out. That's why I'm still talking. Okay, you're not going to get it out. Okay, that's why we're talking about obedience tonight. So, and actually what I'm going to focus in on tonight is not just obedience, but the consequences of disobedience. Yay! Everybody say yay! Yeah, exactly. So that's why we want to obey, because there are consequences to our disobedience. And the way I want to approach this is I want to look at some real life examples from the Word that will help us to see what are some of the potential consequences of our own disobedience. Amen? Amen. Amen. So who was the first person, the first people, however you want to look at it, to disobey God? Adam and Eve. Right. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. That's in the very front of your Bible. Shouldn't be very hard to find. Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 16 and 17. Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. I hear three pages turning. Okay, here we go. And the Lord God commanded man. These are the instructions that God gave to Adam. And the Lord God commanded man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. So what was the instruction? Don't eat from this tree. And what did they do? Let's look at Genesis 3, chapter 6. Get ready. We're going to go through a lot of scripture because I want you to know this is coming straight from the Word. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 tells us what they did. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and did what? Ate it. Yes. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her. Yeah, he was right there. He was with her, and he did what? And he ate it. So they were instructed not to eat it. What they did was they ate it anyway, and then what happened? Let's jump down to verses 23 and 24. Same chapter, verses 23 and 24.
It tells us what happened. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. So what happened as a result of their disobedience? Yes, he got banished, got put out. And then also a guard was placed to make sure they don't come back. Did you pick up on that? Okay, let's look at Romans 5:12. It gives us the rest of it. Romans 5:12. Okay, here we go. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to some people, all people, because all sinned. Okay, so the first time we read what happened in Genesis 3:23 and 24, they got put out. And when they got put out, and a guard placed there so they couldn't go back, that created what? Distance between them and God. Remember, prior to this, they had unlimited access to the Father. They dwelt with him on a regular basis. They had everything they needed. All their needs were met. And then when they made the decision to be disobedient, that created distance between them and the Father. They had to leave the Garden of Eden. Okay, and now here in Romans 5:12, we see that not only did their disobedience affect them, but it affected who? All of their what? Descendants. So it created distance and it impacted their descendants. So I need you to understand that sometimes we get in our mindset that I'm not hurting anybody. I'm just doing this. It's not hurting anybody. It can have an impact not only on you, but also your descendants. Your children and your children's children may reap the repercussions of some act of disobedience that you chose to make that you thought wasn't hurting anybody. Okay? So here's why I asked you to get your pen and your paper or your notes app or whatever you use, because I want to ask you a question, and I actually want you to write down your answer. This isn't for anybody. It's between you and the Lord. But I want you to ask yourself the question, what is it that you have done even though you know God told you not to? What is it that you have done even though you know God told you not to? Okay, so nobody's writing. That means you haven't done anything that the Lord told you not to. Well, that's true. Ms. Becky said we don't have enough time to write it. Jot it down. Just write a word or two, because I want this to become real for you. I don't want this just to be philosophical. I want it to be real for you. I want you to acknowledge a time when you've done something that you know God told you not to do, but you did it anyway. That's called disobedience. Okay? Let's look at another scenario. Let's look to Moses. Yeah, isn't this fun? Am I the only one having fun? Let's look at Moses. Moses in the book of Numbers. That's back at the front. Chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. And we're going to look at verse 8. Numbers chapter 20 and verse 8, if I can get there with my left hand. There we go. These were Moses' instructions. Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its waters. You will bring water out of the rock for the community, so they and their livestock can drink. Okay? So what was the instruction? Speak to the rock. Come on. Are you guys listening? It's right here. The answers are all right here. I'm giving you the answer before I ask the question. Okay? And so what did they end up doing? The instruction was speak to the rock, but what did they do? Let's jump down to verse 11. It says, then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. He spoke to the rock twice. He struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. Well, some of us will read this and say, well, hallelujah. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. That was supernatural, right? But was that the instruction he was given? No. He didn't obey the instruction, even though in God's grace, he still gave them what they needed. It still doesn't negate the fact that Moses was disobedient to the instruction. And a lot of times we justify our disobedience because the outcome wasn't so bad. Okay? Disobedience is still disobedience, even if God chooses to still give you grace. All right. So what happened as a result of Moses' disobedience? Let's look at the very next verse, verse 12. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. Whoa. Okay, let's think about that. Put yourself in Moses' shoes. The group of people that you have been leading towards a goal for 40 years, and you yourself won't have the opportunity to experience what it is that they're going to experience that you led them to. How do you think Moses must have felt in that moment? Say that again. That's tough. How do you think he felt? How would you have felt? I know if it was me, I would have been highly disappointed. Highly disappointed. Even though it's my disobedience that caused the consequence, I would have still been disappointed because I did all of this for all these years and I won't even get to reap the benefits of my leadership. So one of the potential consequences of disobedience is disappointment. So if you find yourself continuously in a state of disappointment, you may want to check and see if you're being disobedient to the Father in any area of your life. Life is going to happen. We will be disappointed. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that every time I'm disappointed that I must be in disobedience. But if it's a consistent thing in your life, if that's kind of where you hang out, then you may want to check to see if you're being disobedient to the Father in any particular area on a consistent basis, okay? And so I want you to ask yourself this question, and I want you to answer yourself when you ask yourself. It's okay. It's healthy to talk to yourself. I do it all the time. I want you to describe a time when God gave you a new way to handle an old problem and you still chose to handle it the old way. Isn't that what Moses did here? For those of you who know the backstory, describe a time when God gave you a new way to handle an old instruction and you still chose to handle it the old way, the comfortable way, the familiar way, the easy way. Okay, so here, even in asking ourselves this question, what we'll find is what was obedience in a past season can be disobedience in a present season. Come on, I need you to do the work. Don't just listen to me and say it's good. I need you to do the work. I need you to identify within yourself, because how can you sweep your house clean of yeast if you don't identify where the yeast lies? Okay, so that's what we're doing. All right, you didn't like that one. Let's go to Saul. Let's look at Saul. Let's go to Saul. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. I know. Thank you, Ms. Liz. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 15, and let's look at verse 3. These were Saul's instructions from the Lord. He said, now go, attack the Amalekites, and totally destroy all that belongs to them. totally destroy how much? All that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. That's pretty specific, right? Just in case, Saul, you don't know what I mean by all, let me list it out for you. Men and women, okay? He goes on and on. Children, okay? And when I say children, I also mean infants. You see, he listed it out, so there was no question. Cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys, all means all. Completely, totally destroy all. And what did Saul do? Let's jump down to verses 8 and 9. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, dead. He took him alive and all his people. He totally destroyed with the sword. And then here's that word. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. Okay, what did you take from that? So was Saul obedient to the instruction? Still disobedient. Why was he disobedient? But it said he totally destroyed everything that was despised and everything that was weak. He totally destroyed all of that. So how is that being disobedient? It wasn't all. The instruction was all. So what you are saying is that even though Saul partially obeyed, that he was still disobedient. So how many of us convince ourselves, because I did a part of what God said, that I'm good? Right? Okay. So let's see. Let's go. The consequence of Saul's disobedience was what? Did you notice? Let's look at 1 Samuel 15. We're going to read a nice little chunk of this passage. 1 Samuel 15, and we're going to look at verses 16 through 26. Here's what happened. Enough, Samuel said to Saul. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Okay, you know it's coming, right? Tell me, Saul replied. Didn't that sound so innocent? Ooh, I want to know. Tell me. Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission saying, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage war against them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pronounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? And here we go. This is what we say. Come on, say it out loud. Acknowledge it. This is what we say. But I did obey the Lord. You see all these buts in here? I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on a mission, the Lord assigned me. Okay, now he's justifying. He's picking out all the pieces of the instruction that he did. I went on the mission that the Lord assigned. I completely destroyed the Amalekites. Now he's lying to himself, right? I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. Okay, do you see the contradiction even in that statement? I completely destroyed the Amalekites and I brought back their king, Agag. So Agag's not an Amalekite. Is that what he's saying? How is he deceiving himself in this way, right? And then verse 21, the soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to do what? Sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. You know, if nothing else, I find it interesting that he said the Lord your God at Gilgal. But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Okay, here we go. Listen for the consequences. For your rebellion, is like the sin of divination. For those who don't know, that's witchcraft. Did you hear what it said? For rebellion, it's like the sin of witchcraft. Okay, some of us think, okay, I'm not forming potions and I'm not casting spells and I'm not doing these things. But this verse says for rebellion. We're talking about disobedience. It's like the sin of divination. And arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. Okay, so now he wants to acknowledge it because he sees where this is going. Okay, first he tried to convince him that I did obey. And now he's saying, okay, you got me. You caught me. I sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. Okay, now he's given the excuse. I was afraid of the men. Ooh, and so I gave in to them. Sounds like a classic case of people pleasing to me. How many of us in disobedience to God choose to please people? You know, men cannot judge you at the end of the age. They can't cast you. They can't make an eternal decision on your life. So why do we choose to obey man over the instruction of the Lord? Okay, right here is saying that Saul was a people pleaser. He was afraid of the men, and so he gave in to them instead of obeying God. Now he's begging Samuel, I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. He's begging him because he knows this is not going to turn out good for him because he's been busted. He was fine with what he did until he got caught. All right? But Samuel said to him, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. So what was Saul's consequence of disobeying God? Rejection. You notice I got a pattern here going. He was demoted. He's no longer the king. He got demoted from his position of kingship. So sometimes a potential consequence of our disobedience is demotion. And we're begging God. I want to do more for the kingdom. Send me out, Lord. I want to do this. I want to do that. Why you never choose me, Lord? Why do they never ask me to do anything? Why is it that I can't do what they're doing? Check your level of obedience. God cannot promote disobedience. And not only will he not promote it, you might get a demotion. So demotion is a potential consequence of disobedience. So here's the question I want you to ask yourself. I'm still going to say, I want you to write down the answer, even though I only see two people actually writing anything. Here's your question. Has there ever been a time when you obeyed the parts of God's instruction that you liked and disobeyed the parts of God's instructions that you didn't like? Has there ever been a time where you obeyed the parts of God's instruction that you liked and you disobeyed the parts of God's instruction that you didn't like? And then get this. I love it because right here, when the Lord, Saul said, where did he say it? Because he talked about, yeah, right here, verse 21, the soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to do what? In order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. So not only did he disobey, he tried to spiritualize his disobedience. How many times do we do that? We flat out disobey, and then we try to spiritualize it. Is it just me? Okay. Yeah, we try to make it sound real spiritual. Look what the Lord has done. Praise be to God. He's a God of increase. He told you to decrease. So why are you trying to praise him for increase when he told you to decrease? This is what we do. We try to spiritualize our disobedience. Well, guess what? That doesn't get past God. He still sees that as disobedience. So here's the question. Again, has there ever been a time when you obeyed the parts of God's instruction that you liked and disobeyed the parts of his instruction that you didn't like? Mm-hmm. Selah. Okay, no? Okay, let's look at another one then. We're going to find one that you like before we finish. How about Uzziah? Anybody know who that is? Okay, fine. Let's go to Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. And let's look at verses 39 and 40. Here we go. So Eleazar, the priest, collected the bronze censers brought by those who had been burned to death. And he had them hammered out to overlay the altar, as the Lord directed him through Moses. This was to remind the Israelites that no one except a descendant of Aaron should come to burn incense before the Lord, or he would become like Korah and his followers. Okay, do you hear the instruction in that? What's the instruction? I hear some mumbling. Who's bold enough to speak it out? What's the instruction? Okay, let's read it again. Numbers 16, 39 and 40. So Eleazar, the priest, collected the bronze censers brought by those who had been burned to death, and he had them hammered out to overlay the altar. Okay, now listen carefully. As the Lord directed him through Moses, this was to remind the Israelites that no one except a descendant of Aaron should come to burn incense before the Lord, or he would become like Korah and his followers. Okay. Did you hear it that time? What's the instruction? Thank you, Miss Brenda. Hallelujah. No one's to burn the incense except for a descendant of Aaron. Okay, we see that? That's the instruction. Okay, let's get another part of the instruction. Let's flip to the 18th chapter and look at the 7th verse, because this is going to reiterate it. But only you and your sons, you, Aaron, and your sons may serve as priests in connection with everything at the altar and inside the curtain. I am giving you the service of the priesthood as a gift. Anyone else who comes near the sanctuary will be exalted, will be praised. Thank you. Executed. Will be put to death. Okay, you see what just happened right there? Did you see when we first read that verse, not all of us picked up on what the instruction was? So what did we need to do? We needed to go back and revisit to make sure we were clear on the instruction. Sometimes we aren't obeying God's instruction because we weren't clear when we heard it the first time. You got to start asking him for clarity. You have to choose to seek out the instruction. If you truly want to obey, you'll ask the necessary questions to help ensure your obedience. But if you just sit and act like you got it and you did it and you just move on to the next thing, there's no way you can obey an instruction you don't understand. So had we just breezed by it and you missed the instruction, that would have been an instruction that you would have been disobedient to. So you got to ask him questions. You got to ask for clarity. You got to make sure that you understand the instructions so that you can obey it. But if you never intend to obey it in the first place, you'll just let the instruction just roll right by. So now we understand the instruction. And now we see not only did he give the instruction, he reiterated it. He gave some clarity to it. Okay? So what did they do? What did Uzziah do? Let's look at 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. Come on, do you love the word? Do you wanna dig into the word? Are you enjoying this? Don't you love flipping back and forth in the word? You see how it's all connecting? You didn't know all these verses connected, did you? 2 Chronicles. Chapter 26, let's look at verses 16 through 18. But after Uzziah became powerful, can we just pause right there for a minute? Come on, power can cause you to be disobedient. That's why the Father doesn't give it to us prematurely until we've been proven out that we can handle it. Because if you can't obey without power, how do you think you're going to obey with it? That was extra. You're welcome. But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. Okay? It's easy to be prideful when you're powerful. So we need to learn humility at this level. Okay? And he was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to do what? To burn incense on the altar. And we just found out that the instruction was what? Only descendants of Aaron. And Aaron was who? Who was Aaron? The high priest. And so his descendants were what? Priests. Uzziah, was he a priest? No, he's a what? He's a king. He's not a priest. He's not a son of Aaron. And he's going in to burn incense on the altar. Can you see the disobedience? Azariah, the priest, with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord, followed him in. So they followed the king in. They confronted King Uzziah and said, "It is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and you will not be honored by the Lord God." And what happened? Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand, ready to burn incense, became angry. How many of you know when you act out of emotion, it can oftentimes lead to disobedience? Okay, he became angry. While he was raging at the priests in their presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple. Come on. How many opportunities do you need to realize you're about to disobey? Okay. What happened? Leprosy broke out on his forehead right then, right there in the midst of him disobeying. So what was the consequence of Uzziah's disobedience? Leprosy. Come on, this one is an easy one. Leprosy. Disease is a potential consequence of disobedience. Come on. Disease is a potential consequence of disobedience. How about this? You know, the Bible instructs us. We're talking about instructions, how we respond to those instructions, what happens when we don't respond the way that God told us to respond, and what are the potential consequences. The Bible clearly tells us to do what? Forgive. And a lot of times when we choose not to forgive, that unforgiveness will manifest in our bodies as disease. So if the word instructs us, if the Lord, if God instructs us to forgive and we choose not to, that is disobedience. And so you're setting yourself up for potential disease as that unforgiveness sets up in your body. So here's the question I want you to ask yourself. More like a statement on this one. Recall a time when a man or woman of God was sent to warn you not to disobey God's word, but you did it anyway. Come on, did you see here? The man of God was sent, clearly told him, don't do this, you're gonna be in disobedience. He didn't even go by himself. How many others went with him? 80. You have 81 people in front of you saying, don't do it. It goes against everything the Lord has instructed us. And you still go to do it? The Lord didn't even wait on this one. Struck him with leprosy right then, right there. Disease is a potential consequence of disobedience. Well, since you guys are having so much fun, I'm going to do another one. What about Uzzah? No, we didn't just do him. That was Uzziah. This is Uzzah. Let's go to Numbers. I know. Let's go to Numbers, chapter 4. And let's look at verse 15. Numbers, chapter 4, verse 15. After Aaron and his sons have finished covering the holy furnishings, okay, we're listening for the instructions. Now keep a keen ear so we can hear the instructions. After Aaron and his sons have finished covering the holy furnishings and all the holy articles, and when the camp is ready to move, only then are the Kohathites to come and do the carrying. But they must not touch the holy things, or they will die. The Kohathites are to carry those things that are in the tent of meeting. Did you hear the instruction? Okay. So what did they end up doing? What did Uzzah end up doing? Let's go to 2 Samuel. Let's see what he did. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And let's do verse 6. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took hold of what? The ark of God. I mean, it's like the most holy of holy things. And he took hold of the ark of God. Why? Because the oxen stumbled. Now, see, when we look at something like this, we say, now, this is an honorable thing, right? This is honorable. He didn't want the ark of God to fall to the ground. That's honorable. We should be honoring him. We should be celebrating him. We should be thanking him, right? No. I hear a couple of yeps, and I hear one no, and I see a couple of head shakes. Disobedience is disobedience is disobedience. He said, don't touch it. And he touched it. The circumstances around why he touched it are irrelevant. If the instruction was don't touch it, you don't touch it. Right? So, okay. So then he touched it. What happened? Yep, because he already told us what was going to happen. In verse 7, the very next verse, the Lord's anger burned against Uzzah. I was about to say the other dude, because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down and he died there beside the ark of God. How sad. Unnecessary. Premature what? Death. So one of the potential consequences of disobedience is death. Can you see that? I'm not just making this up. I'm walking you through the word. One of the potential consequences of disobedience is death. Yes, we're all gonna die, but this was premature. So here's your question. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit. I'm not even asking you to ask yourself this one, because we'll just lie to ourselves. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you if there's ever been a time when you thought you were doing something to honor the Lord, but it was actually an act of disobedience. I dare you. Ask the Holy Spirit if there's ever been a time where you did something that you thought was honorable to the Lord, but it actually was an act of disobedience. Nobody else has done that? Okay, it's just me and Uzzah. Let's look at one more. Let's look at Nadab and Abihu. I know, Abihu? No, Abihu. Let's look at Leviticus. Let's go to Leviticus. Can you tell there was a lot of disobedience in the word? Leviticus 6, and we're going to look at verses 12 and 13. Can we learn from them so we don't fall into these same traps? Leviticus 6, verses 12 and 13. It says, the fire on the altar, again, now we're listening for the instruction. Now the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning, the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. The fire must be kept burning, just in case you didn't hear it the first time, it must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. Did you hear the instruction? What was it? Well, hallelujah, we finally got it. Keep the fire burning. It must not go out. So what did they do? You see the pattern? Here we go. Let's jump down to chapter 10, Leviticus chapter 10, and look at the first verse. It says, Aaron's sons. Okay, then these are Aaron's sons now. So if they're Aaron's sons, that means they're what? Okay, so Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense. And they offered the most perfect fire. They offered unauthorized fire before the Lord. Yes, some translations say strange fire before the Lord. And contrary to his command. So they offered unauthorized fire. This is not the fire that the Lord instructed them to offer him. Okay, it kind of goes back to Saul, but I did offer fire, but that's not the fire I instructed you to offer. That's not the way I told you to do it. That's not what. And so what it is, what is it right now? What did they do? They disobeyed the instruction. And so what happened? as a result of them disobeying the instruction. It tells us in the very next verse, verse 2. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and did what? And it consumed them, and they died before the Lord. So we already learned from Uzzah's experience that death is a potential consequence of disobedience. But what else can we learn from Nadab and Abihu is a potential consequence of disobedience? Come on, doing it the way they wanted to do it, what? Yes, they did it the way they wanted to do it instead of the way the Lord instructed them, but what was the consequence? Death was one of the consequences, but look a little deeper into it. We mentioned that they are sons of who? Aaron. So Aaron is the what? Not just the priest, he's the high priest. And so if his sons are priests and Aaron's the high priest, then once Aaron passes away, then they have the potential to inherit his role as high priest. But because they chose to disobey, come on, it doesn't matter who they are, they disqualified themselves from their promotion. How do we know they got disqualified? They died. You can't get promoted if you're dead. I mean, you know what I mean. I mean, when we die, we're going to get promoted into glory. I'm not talking about, see how we spiritualize stuff? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about naturally, right? They disqualified them from something that they had a potential right to because they chose to disobey. So how many of us are disqualifying ourselves, are relinquishing our rights, are not receiving all the fullness of what God has for us because we disqualify ourselves from it because of our disobedience. Okay, so here's your question. In what ways have you tried to draw near to a holy God without following His holy instructions? We cry out to Him all the time. We fall on our face in prayer. We raise our hands in worship. We're trying to reach out to a holy God. All the while, we're not obeying His instructions. God fully expects us to obey His instructions. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. Either we're going to do it or we're not. Either we give Him our yes or He hears our no. Well, hallelujah. So here's what we can convince ourselves of. We convince ourselves into believing we're being obedient if we never actually acknowledge our disobedience. That's why I wanted you to write it down, because I wanted it to become real for you. Because just hearing me talk about it is not going to make your disobedience real to you. It's just the story of these people that we talked about in the Bible. But that's how we convince ourselves into believing that we are being obedient when actually we're being disobedient because we never acknowledge the disobedience. And what we need to realize is that continued disobedience opens us up to deception. It opens the door to deception. If we continuously disobey God, we open ourselves up to the deception of the enemy. So this is why so many people, including believers, are in need of deliverance. Because we've opened the door wide open to the enemy to deceive us. And he comes right in. And he wreaks havoc in our lives. And he torments us. I'm talking about believers. We're tormented by the enemy. And some of it, we're opening the door to it because we choose to be disobedient. Now, this has always been an issue, but even more so in the days in which we live. And I'm just going to point out some of the verses that speaks to this. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Come on, we're talking about being deceived. Matthew 24:5, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and will deceive many. You know, we have to practice being obedient. We have to make it a habit to be obedient. So many of us have made disobedience a habit that we won't even recognize when we're being deceived because we're so used to being disobedient anyway. Matthew 24:24, for false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to do what? To deceive, if possible, even the elect. That's you and I. That's those of us who say we believe. Even we can be deceived. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. Ephesians 5:6, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are what? Disobedient. Do you see it in the word? He's already warned us. God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. You can be in denial if you want to, but he's already told us what the consequence of disobedience is. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. And all the ways that wickedness does what? Deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth and have delighted in wickedness. Whether we care to admit it or not, when we make disobedience a habit, we're delighting in wickedness. James 1:22, one of my favorite verses. Do not merely listen to the word and so do what? Deceive yourselves. You come to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every special service, and you listen to the word. And if that's all you're doing, you're deceiving yourself. We can't just be hearers of the word. We must also what? Doers. We got to do it. In other words, to me, that sounds like obedience. We got to obey it. The word is full of instruction. It's our instruction manual as believers in Christ. If we aren't doing what it says, that means we're not doing what it says. That means we're in disobedience. We can't just come and listen. We must obey. We already live in a fallen world. So what does that mean? That means things are going to happen. We're going to experience things in this life that we would prefer not to have to experience. We're going to have some trials. We're going to experience suffering. But here's the thing. One of the easiest ways that we can minimize being distant from God and being disappointed and being demoted, diseased, disqualified, or premature death, one of the easiest ways for us to minimize that is simply to obey God's instructions. But I don't hear from God. He doesn't speak to me. Yes, he does. And if you aren't hearing a rhema instruction, come on, We have a book full of them right here. Start with these. Start developing the habit of obedience. Why should I give you more instructions when you haven't followed the ones I've already given you? That's what I would say to my children. I'm sure that's what he's saying to his. So if you identified with any of the people we talked about tonight, if any of these scenarios hit home for you, if you're willing to admit to yourself and come out of denial and say, okay, I've been disobedient a little bit, and now I realize some of the potential consequences of my disobedience, I want us to pray. And I don't want to just pray over you. I want you to pray and repent to the Father for your disobedience. Come on, we have to be quick to repent. Not because we got caught, but because our hearts are broken because we disobeyed our Creator. So just within yourself, I just want you to take a moment to repent before the Father and then commit to obedience to his instructions.